This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Because we've been talking a lot of college football, not necessarily today, but because of the potential impact of a non-season on finances or just on our well-being, not being able to watch college football, and for you, for your work, without the ability to watch film from this season. You're a parent who has kids who have either spent time in college or at some point will be in college. How upset would you be if, let's say, a school like North Carolina decides, you know what, we know it's a pandemic, but we're going to try and have kids on campus. We're going to try because we're an institution of higher learning, and what that means is having kids on campus. But after a week of parties and clusters, we're going to send everyone home. But we've already got your money. So we're going to send everyone home because we've already got those full tuition checks. And we know we can't charge you full tuition if it's all online, but we got your money now, so you're going to start sending undergrads home. I would ask how upset you would be, but I know how upset I am because your mic's not on.
So I would be pretty pissed off because no colleges are giving discounts that I know of for online learning. But at the same time, I don't want them forcing the issue. If you're going to have these cluster busters, like, oh, 17 clusters in a week, great. Looks like North Carolina's done putting everything on each other, into each other. Now we can
into
maybe,
each other.
I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff going on in the videos. Georgia, North Georgia.
Of all places.
I didn't know there was that much partying going on in North Georgia. NC State, one girl said it was North Carolina, it was NC State. The parties, like,
you knew the deal, everyone.
They're going to get the kids back at some point.
You think, like Notre Dame has said.
Notre Dame's different, though.
They sent their undergrads home for 2 weeks, or maybe not even home, just off-campus learning, online learning. I guess you can still stay in the dorms, I think. NC State didn't send their kids home. North Carolina did. Pitt, I think, is doing the same thing, where the kids can still stay in the dorms, but no on-campus learning. If that ain't a money, they knew what was going to happen, and they still brought the kids on campus.
Oh, yeah. Listen, stay in your dorms. We're not telling you to go home. Stay in the room and board that we're giving you that you're paying for.
Yeah, because if you leave now, we may have to discount some of it or give some of it back. We'd like you to hang on a little
I think you're right. I think they probably did know what was going to happen.
How could they not know? They know how college kids operate.
Actually think they weren't going to get together and party.
No. I know now they're putting rules in place where I think some institutions are saying we'll suspend you and even maybe expel you if you party past the limit that we've set. But every institution of higher learning knows their kids weren't going to show up and not party. They knew they were going to.
They said, look, let's roll some COVID out. Then we'll dial them back into their own dorm rooms, let them wait it out. We know the percentages with young people are better, blah, blah, blah. Then that'll have more people who have had it who won't get it. I think you're actually right about the room and board because that was something I hadn't really thought about. You can't charge the same thing for college if people aren't living there.
No.
You can't.
They need those room and board checks.
I know private schools and high schools are talking about that. Parents are like, is this tuition the same? If they're doing it on an iPad, you're not charging the same tuition. Well, because we're going to look at, for right now, it's going to be 2 weeks, and then maybe a blended learning.
Hybrid, I think, is the word they like
hybrid,
to use.
Hybrid learning. And they're like, there's nothing hybrid right now, so we're going to reassess in September and see how things are going on. And you just know parents are going to say, in colleges and anyone who's having to pay private school tuition are going to say, if this lasts for the whole, you are cutting us like 25% refund, right?
Yeah.
Like we're getting some of that back.
Because Pitt is going online learning until September 14th, and they made that decision a couple days ago. So that's almost a month out of the semester already where you're like, you guys aren't going to be on campus learning. But we got your. So are kids even going to hang around in the dorm for almost a month when they're not even allowed on campus? But we got your tuition checks and we got your room and board checks. So do what you like.
Can't say it out loud.
No, you can't. That's I only bring it up because of the initial arguments about you can't have college sports if kids normal kids aren't on campus, everyone forgets that a lot of times college athletes are on campus when the kids aren't on campus, whether it be a winter break or a spring break.
I like this Dell. This version of Dell, usually you are more sensitive to the issues of, but when it comes to college football, you turn into SEC fan.
Yeah.
You are plow straight through herd immunity.
I didn't see anything about herd immunity.
Let them take off the mask. Like, you are like an SEC, because ACC is kind of the SEC's little brother.
Well, and you unless are in Clemson's ACC. Playing.
Yeah, well.
I get what you're saying.
But they're like new money SEC.
My big issue is I don't like hypocrisy. I've learned as I keep doing this whole sports thing and getting older thing, I don't like when you're lying to me and, peeing on me and telling me it's raining. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. You're not going to sell me that about kids must be on campus. But you know what? We'll send them home because we got our checks and there's an outbreak that everyone could have predicted.
There is some hypocrisy with the college athletics, the pandemic. You take all of it together and there's so much hypocrisy. You've now combined the two things with a ton of hypocrisy and you've combined them. You've got the pandemic, you've got college students, you've got online learning, you've got college athletics. You put it all together and you realize
some amateurism or non-amateurism. Yeah. It's all
the money
combined
that has to be made for the schools
that we won't talk about, but we know we have to play games.
Only it's extraordinarily important.
Or not just athletic programs, but also the entire institution might go under if we don't get kids on campus and also play sports.
Yeah, they really do need to play, but they don't like to talk about how desperate they are, because then it's like, so hold on. So these students have to play for the whole university, but then you don't want to. Just never mind. Forget it.
Yeah,
online learning.
They're not professionals. Well, stop.
Okay, so do you think that the fact that colleges, they're basically, I think it came out recently that everyone's eligibility last year, that doesn't count towards their time. Right.
The report was if that
this year.
Well, it happened for spring athletes too, I think, if they played.
I think they like waived that 1 year of eligibility for
not for people
every,
who played pro college football last year. That counted.
No,
right?
But for spring athletes.
Spring athletes, yeah.
You could
so
get
even
your year
basketball?
Back. I don't know. They didn't count because basketball's more fall winter, so that didn't count.
Yeah, they
for
just
them.
Didn't play a
But
tournament.
If you played softball and your season got disrupted, you could come back even if you would have given up all your eligibility.
Baseball.
Just,
but,
yeah, stuff
I mean,
like that.
Does that. I feel like that's playing into these colleges' decision to charge full price.
Yeah, because it's the football ruling or the fall sports ruling, it's not official, but I mentioned it when we were talking about Jim Nagy, that you're going to be allowed to play this year in the fall or the spring, whenever football happens, and then not lose a year. So, for example, a senior quarterback someplace who maybe only has been his first year as a starter because he was behind some guy. He could play this year as a senior and then play in the fall of 2021 as a senior. And his eligibility would not change. The schools would have to decide if they were willing to bring this kid back or because the scholarship limit is normally 85, how much they're willing to go over. Will they bring back a senior linebacker who's just okay? Will they give him another year?
Let me tell you, that's going to be the thing. When he's talking about the opt-in, you may have teams say, well, it's got to be mutual opt-in.
Yeah.
We're not letting this kid stay on scholarship, eat up a – we're trying to get some recruiting done.
No, but with the saying, you could still go over the 85. The issue is for schools who are limited on money,
though.
Are they willing to give another year of free? A
yeah,
free education
that's
and free health and all.
Okay, theoretically you can go over 85,
yeah,
but financially?
Can you? Some schools aren't going to be able to.
No.
Not for everyone. I'm sure if the quarterback wants to hang out and stay, they'll be fine with it. But the backup the senior linebacker who's just okay, they're not going to do that.
Let's get Biscuit in here. He wants to get to Rockets because I have something else. I'm going to get to the talk about the Pac-12 and Big Ten guys transferring too. That's kind of a big deal. Or whether or not they'll be allowed to. What's up, Biscuit?
Hey, man. What's happening, fellas? Hey, Lance, before I get to my NBA, man, you touched on it, man. The hypocrisy. That's the American way now. You know, so you just tell me, hey man, I'm screwing you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. And instead of giving that false pretense, oh, we care about the kids, we care about the, you know, good and well, it's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah,
and
that's hypocrisy. Yeah, no, I mean that's the way it's gonna go.
That's the American way. That's our society, you know. And you know that's in essence too. The with the young people, the mistake was made early on by the higher ups when they said, this is what they said, Lance. Hey, you young people, you don't have to worry about it. You can't. It's no consequence if you get this disease. So what? They don't give a flying flip. Now, once they heard that, they didn't hear nothing else. And so, hey, let's do it. You know what I mean? So the mistake was made early on. You got to know your audience, man. If they had told them, hey, man, we don't know what could happen, so everybody need to be precautious, they might have reacted different. But they were told
yes,
it only affects old
people. But I tell you what I don't like. What I have learned that I really don't like that's going on in certain media outlets and headline writers, don't lie. Like, quit trying to – I can already tell it's super obvious that there are people in headline writers and editors – who are really pushing the most negative because they're concerned that people aren't taking things seriously. But, and some people are, some people aren't. But at some point, like, I don't want, if the numbers are the numbers, don't tell young people that they are dying in droves or anything like that if it's not accurate, because you don't want, you know, you don't want them to do anything stupid. I just don't want them to do anything stupid, but I want real information. I don't ever want fake information just to try to manipulate somebody. Look, I've got somebody who's young and in that.
Well, Lance, there is a middle ground. You don't have to go from one extreme to the other. They could have just said, "Hey, we don't know what could happen. You know, it's better safe. You know, better to be safe than sorry." You know,
what's like so?
This
Bun,
is a very serious
how about
thing.
This biscuit? You'll appreciate this. Bun B had something on his Instagram. It said, "You know damn well that your grandparents and parents would do anything and everything they possibly could to protect you. But why won't you do the same thing for your parents and grandparents?" And that was like, that hit me different because I thought, ooh, that is true.
Hey, let me say this. Let me get to the Rockets, man. And I will say this, and I said that to your producer. I think the bubble has helped the Rockets probably more than any other team. Maybe Miami, a couple other teams, maybe. And the reason I say that, Lance, is because the pressure is off some of the guys as far as being on the road and the crowd noise or whatever. And the guy I'm looking at is my homie, my fellow Hurricane from Hightower, is House, man. And if you – they'll look up the numbers last year when House in the playoffs, when he played Golden State, he gave them nothing.
He barely played.
And now House is – the dude has skills. It was just all about, you know, I don't know if it was nerves or, you know, inexperience. But House is capable of putting the ball on the floor and going to the hole. He's not just a stationary jump shooter. You combine that with Green, who was on his last leg. You guys talk about Green was almost out the league, so he has to play. When you're almost out of there, you're going to play with a little desperation. You're going to be a little more focused. And so Green and House, to me, are the two things that could propel the Rockets to at least get to the Western Conference Final.
I tell you what, you know, Daniel House did play more in the playoffs last year, just not against Golden State. He had 7 games he played in last year, averaged 20 minutes a game, shot 29-7 from the field, including 25.8 from three. Yeah, you're right. He was bad last year. This year, in 2 games, 47 from the field, 33 from three. You want to see the three-point number go higher because he's considered a, you know, more of a range shooter. But 14 points a game, he's grabbing 5 rebounds and 4 assists. I didn't realize those were Daniel House's cumulative numbers in 2 games. But Daniel House, and remember, he was out with a toe injury previously when they were losing the final 4 games of the regular season. But yeah, Daniel House has made a big difference.
Before we go, you remember Daryl Morey talked about before the bubble how he saw some positive changes in the way they were playing defense.
Yeah.
And we all kind of scoffed before it happened. And then once the bubble happened, like, what did you see? Because they were atrocious defensively for most of the bubble. Maybe they were playing possum, or maybe Oklahoma City was a perfect matchup to institute some of these things, but they've been locked down. They're halfway through one round. We know it's 16 to the title, so I don't want to make too many proclamations, but there's nothing you can say about them defensively other than they've been great.
That's all you can say. 10-16, we come back. a hockey commentator. Well, we haven't even touched on the Tom Brenneman. You guys probably did yesterday.
A little bit, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the Tom Brenneman, and then people are on a hockey commentator this time. So we'll play the audio for you, and we'll have our thoughts.
Everybody people, everybody bleed, everybody need some, everybody love, everybody know, okay, I was gone for it.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you, la 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 la.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.10:19 here on The Bench. So, okay, so one of the things, the jokes we made about, was it's kind of jokes. But it's the bubble in basketball. There's no Instagram models coming in. Actually, it's just been about ball. It's got a very, at least on the outside looking in, it's got a very high school, early season high school tournament vibe where you go to a tournament and there's a bunch of other schools and there's a bunch of other teams and you're going to be playing on Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday too if you make it to the finals. And so it's had that kind of vibe, just dudes playing ball, getting back to kind of like AAU days.
Like a YMCA lock-in with a basketball tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Or AAU lock-in maybe because these players are a little better.
Well,
but one of the things is they are presumably much more focused on the game, and we've seen advantage. The Suns play great ball now. We also found out something about the Suns.
They like to do stuff. Did we hear that NBA people were saying Suns are playing well because that team is young and Phoenix is elite for a certain distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And without the distraction, they can just play ball.
Some accuracy. And then some girl came out and said some things. Mm-hmm. And you thought, maybe people were right about the Suns. Portland got it together. The Rockets played well and then struggled at the end, and they're back to playing well. We'll see how.
I was going to ask you the question. If they do make it to the second round, that is a time where guests can come in. Does that change the complexion of the Rockets and their defense if their legs are now weary from doing stuff? Will you be concerned about their defense in a second-round matchup because now guests are allowed in?
I think James's level of defense is going to stay
I don't know.
Stay static.
I don't know. He's been better. You think it'll decrease now that guests are allowed?
He's a low-post defender, so I'm not worried about that.
But his perimeter defense hasn't been bad. Just to answer the question, when guests are allowed
Here's who I would worry about. The young guys, Daniel House.
Uh huh.
I feel
Does
like
he have
Eric
a long-term
Gordon,
friend. Do we know to, that?
And I like how the NBA says you have to have actually seen them in person.
Long-standing relationship.
It's like literally saying nobody in the DMs, no Instagram people. You have to. They need to be in the same city.
Yep.
You had to have a hookup. Let us see pictures.
You know why my?
They're basically saying, let me see pictures.
You know why my rookie's elite, Tyler Hero. Because he started that Katya Elise Henry relationship before the
bubble.
There's
nothing they can do about it.
There's pictures on Instagram of the both of them.
Okay.
Sorry.
We'll see how he plays. If they get past Indianapolis, we'll see how he plays.
We'll see.
If he gets past the Pacers, we're going to see how he plays. Because she's not coming there just to watch basketball.
I don't imagine that'll be the case. Our guest's going to be allowed
He's not having her there if she's just going to come watch basketball.
Hey,
why would you?
Hey, I just want to see you ball, Tyler. Then why are you here?
I just want us to just, you know, maybe watch some television and hold hands and like, no, it's going to be crazy.
Can we just watch The Boys that's coming out on Amazon, then you go play ball? No. Why would you be here for that?
That's 100% not happening. Okay, so I feel like Eric Gordon will take it serious. He knows he doesn't have many chances for a ring. PJ Tucker strikes me as a guy who says, I'm not having sex until after the playoffs.
There's no room for a woman in his place anyway. He's got too many shoes.
Yeah. Way too. Doesn't he have an extra room for all his shoes?
There's no room for another person.
Yeah. I'm not worried about him. It's going to be Daniel House I have to worry about because why wouldn't you if you're Daniel House? I would imagine Ben McLemore, like, hey, got a little shine again now that I'm with the Rockets. Covington, I would assume, is making some phone calls
potentially. And they all the guests will have their own rooms, I believe. They won't be staying with the players.
Yeah.
They'll have their – so they'll be just
– No,
back
you
and
have
forth.
To have –
They'll have their
but
own
rooms. Players
room.
Have their own rooms. There's no roommate situations, right?
No, I believe –
That would be terrible.
You can – I think you have to pay. You have to pay for your guests, though.
Oh, you
now,
do?
Now, that's a new wrinkle, though.
I believe that's the case. If you have to pay for their room and stuff and pay to keep – because it costs the NBA.
Oh, and it's not like baseball where they're getting a third of their salary.
No.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if once you're past – and you know what? Once you're past the first round of the playoffs, you just got playoff shares too.
Yeah.
But also these young guys, I mean, they're not making as much. So are you,
young
are you willing to
are
risk
going
it?
To fall apart in the second round when the women get to the bubble. And – as I say something incredibly sexist like that,
mm-hmm.
I take you directly into the NHL announcer, Mike. What is his name here? I've seen him on TV. I just didn't know.
Milbury.
Yeah, Mike Milbury.
He used to be the GM for the Islanders, I think.
Yeah, that's who it is. Here's what he said on a hockey broadcast on NBC.
Come here and play hockey. And if you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regards to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place.
Not even any woman here to disrupt their concentration.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you right now, that sounds exactly like our show every day on the radio, comments that we make.
The question is, why is there a problem?
I would like to know what's problematic about any of the stuff that he said.
Because maybe if he would have just simply said, play in the bubble and there are no distractions, he would have been fine. But when you associate women with distractions... it's an issue. I would say anyone in the bubble would be a distraction because you're no longer locked in on what you're doing. Familial concerns are an issue in everyone's life.
Yeah, even like somebody's family being in the bubble.
But because he boiled it down to women, would he have been okay if he said family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't have taken anything. Because he said women... which is what we've talked about with the NBA. We just got done. Our whole segment has been about that, the focus. And we've said this before. Honestly, what did he say that people are – why is he facing backlash?
Because
he's not making a comment about women so much as the way that the players get distracted about that they're trying – look, do we have to walk you through the whole thing, what
know.
He's talking about?
I don't have to lead you to the water.
And we just did this whole segment. Because they're not trying to smash all the time. They're trying to play hockey. They play good, honest hockey. And that's why I feel like there's better hockey being played because the guys are really focused on hockey that's being played.
There are multiple times during the normal show when we're...
thongs or panties or any of this stuff. Just good, good clean underwear, tidy whities, and hockey.
When I back away from Mike because I feel like someone has said something ridiculous
I don't want to be part of.
I don't find what he said out of bounds only because it feels like common sense. Forget about putting a negative connotation on women because I'm not saying that when I say it. When you add more people to your situation, it will distract you. Maybe not consistently, but if you have to deal with something, it's different than just, all right, I'm locked in, I'm playing.
So
it's different.
So most people on at... Allison L's Twitter in her mentions from this video.
Oh, because she's the one that pulled that
she's
video.
The one, yeah, she initially tweeted out, who was it that said this? And then she posted the video right after it. Most of the mentions replying to that video are like, this is nothing. This is not like, you shouldn't be clutching your pearls over this. And there are a few people who are like, oh, Sarah Spain talked about this, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it's probably maybe like a 5-2 in favor of.
Well, the first one that pops up for me after she said it's 2020 and yet. But somebody named Jennifer Redenbach, who is the hockey communications coordinator for the Manitoba Moose, AHL affiliate of the Winnipeg Jets, says this is horrible. To all the women working tirelessly behind the scenes in the bubble right now, we see you. We appreciate you, and we are here to support you and cheer you on every step of the way. I don't think
he was
saying any, like,
Mike Milbury, whatever. I don't know him. I just know him as a commentator. So who knows what he's really believing? But I will assume that he didn't mean just women who are doing their jobs, because I think the assumption is athletes with access to money and fame have access to women that maybe some of us normal people don't have. And I guess he's saying that if women are in the bubble, guys will be more focused on, not more focused, but there'll be some of their focus will be on them as opposed to the game itself. I don't know if he means wives. Is he does he mean girlfriends who are being brought into the bubble? Does he mean random women who would be in the bubble? I'm not sure. In a TV environment, he's not going to get real deep into what he means. He said women. He didn't explain it, I guess, and now he's in trouble.
This is all about guys not focusing on their playoffs and wanting to party and do other stuff. It's not.
Yeah,
I don't think
if he would have said distractions, he would have been okay. If he just left it at that, but when you call women distractions, there's a negative connotation.
Well, and he also said what guys are just focused on hockey. They're with their friends. They're with their guys. They're with, you know, they don't have to smell perfume or see any kind of high ponytails, which to me, I'm a big fan of the high pony, not the low pony, the high
one.
Sexy.
Do you like the messy bun?
Yeah, I like it. My wife will do messy bun and high pony. I told her I'm a high pony fan. I didn't realize I was.
I will say this. It wouldn't have been something I would have said on a national broadcast. You know what I wouldn't have said? Man, the hockey's really great because the women aren't around.
Yeah, no, but what he said is not hashtag fire Milbury.
No,
that's not enough to get him fired.
Look, it's not Tom Brenneman, which we can get to, at least his apology.
Ooh, that's not
gonna
work,
it's man. Stupid. I will say that. It's not something that would have ever crossed my mind to say. I feel like Mike Milbury pulled a heat check, whatever the equivalent is in hockey. You go, look, I'm going to try to get this off and see what happens. And he saw what happened.
You're going to have to answer for something.
What brother, did I do?
I want to tell you what, but I want to bring it up because you're the expert on this, I guess.
Candy?
Yeah. It's a candy expertise. 10:31. You're on the bench.
ESPN 97.5.
Capitals of the world. Reds Live, the pregame show presented by Ray St. Clair Roofing. And we come your way prior to every single Reds game.
I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness. Jim Day will take you the rest of the way home.
Two things. I haven't had a chance to. One, that's not who I am. Well, you just literally said that, but out loud. Like, literally, probably 60 seconds ago. So that's a hard sell. But the other one, I just can't get over the home run call. It is so jarring to hear it's a home run. Deep left center field, it's a home run. So back to the other thing.
You know, he's on TV. You didn't need to tell us. First of all, I don't even know why.
That was the instinct of play-by-play kicked in. You're right. He didn't even have to say it happened.
You're not a radio guy. You didn't have to tell us. We see the home run. I'm not sure why an apology is being made. I know why, but...
Well, actually, so maybe to his point, though, because there's video of it, and the camera's on him. The camera's not on the game. So maybe that's why he did it.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, but there's a... No, it's a dual screen.
It was... Oh, I didn't know it was split.
Yeah, I think it was a dual shot.
I only saw the shot of just him.
Because I've seen the home run.
I didn't know that it
was
split screen.
Yeah, I've seen him. I remember seeing him, hearing him and then seeing the home run. What's the protocol? Well, I don't know if there is a real protocol when you drop that word on television and then your employer tells you, hey, you got to try to make this right, although there's no way you really can. Is it appropriate to have the apology directly on air while the game is going on, or do you just remove him from the broadcast and then maybe release a statement?
No, I thought he handled it. I don't know that it could be handled any other way. Like, I don't think he wanted to keep going, is my guess. I heard he actually pulled himself off.
So
before
it was a doubleheader, and the comment was made in between the doubleheader, and I think he got pulled in the third inning of the second game.
Of the second game. So he did finish the game and then went on.
That's what it was. It was the seventh inning of – they were coming back from break in the seventh inning of the first game, and I think that's whenever he said it.
Okay.
And then went all the way to the third inning of the second one.
Before the okay, I gotcha. The news, the NFL has come out, or at least Fox, who does NFL stuff, has removed him from the broadcast, their broadcast as well. So he's a long time play-by-play guy, Tom Brenneman. Been doing it for years, and Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock were filling in for the bench yesterday, and Patrick was upset about it, obviously because of what he said, but also because of where you are in your profession, that you would, I guess, disrespect the profession doing something like that. And he didn't really buy the apology, because if you are saying that around a mic, even if you think it's off, you probably have said it before.
He's, you know, it gets to the point that these guys who have been around forever also don't realize that when they're saying things like this that they think is going to stay, these things are not going to stay quiet anyway, because if you have a producer that doesn't like you, who was it just recently that ESPN? Oh, it was Rachel Nichols. They tried to get Rachel Nichols, remember?
Yeah.
Where somebody was recording stuff that she was saying. Somebody could just put Tom Brenneman right out there for him to be saying that into a mic to somebody in the control studio, I guess. Because that's the next question people are going to start asking was, hey, who was he talking to like that he thought he could talk to like that? And then the producer's going to be like,
oh, I don't know. I mean, I've never.
I was horrified when I heard it. You know, that's like, hey, who was he just talking to, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing Reds games for years. I don't know how long his producer, whoever he was talking to, has been working with him, but
Director's like, is it in between games? I can
get
a sandwich.
Look, man, I'm not even here. I don't even know who Dom was talking to, because he was talking to someone, and he obviously felt comfortable enough with this person to say it. So that is the question that won't get answered.
The Reds are going, who were you talking to, Tom? Somebody's out there. Don't snitch.
Don't.
You better not be snitching.
You heard what Joe Kelly said about the Astros. Snitching. It'll be worse for you, Thom.
Uh huh.
And I'm gonna call you Thom from now on, not Tom.
Let me tell you something, Thom.
Watch your
Start
mouth.
Start snitching.
T-Hom.
You're already out. Don't pull anyone else. Don't pull any of us out.
Hey man, you're a multi. Your salary doesn't compare to mine, man. I need this job.
You know, Thom. You got two vacation houses. Stop front, Thom.
Say you were just.
You needed to stop.
Say you're shouting to the wind, Thom.
Yeah.
That's all.
Let me tell you what, Thom. You better say you were just talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be putting this director on. Keep my name. Eric Dickerson's name. No, nah, that's a real name.
Yeah,
that's a real actual multimillionaire.
That's a bad random name to throw.
Okay, name.
Walter Payton. Oh, no, that's a really bad one, too.
Just naming NFL running backs.
Hey, yeah. You keep Jake Romwaller out of your mouth, okay?
Yeah. Thom, knock it off. Like, I'm sure Jake and Thom were ranking.
Bothering me that you're saying Thom. Something about this name is just good.
And Jake had another city at number two, and Thom was like, no way, Jake. this city, blank capital
when
of the world.
When Granado comes back, let's talk about this. Say Thom, but I'm going to play it totally straight. Like, no, he calls him Thom. Let's try to sell John that
his
we,
name is Thom.
Yeah, that he calls himself Thom. He like, always has.
We've always.
What are you talking about? No, he doesn't.
No, every time he comes on, I'm Thom Brenneman.
Yeah. John, he's always said that, just like it was Roy. It was never Roy Oswalt. It was always Roy Oswalt. It's always been Thom Brenneman.
Yeah, and I will tell him, John, I talked to Thom Brenneman before when he was doing a Texans game. I said, hey, Thom. He goes, actually, it's Thom. And I was like, I thought it was Thom. No, it's Thom. People didn't like it.
You don't see the TH?
Yeah, people don't like Thom. So on air, I go by Thom, but I'm going to change that.
Yeah. Call me Thom
from now on.
Just like Hakeem.
The problem with Thom is even if he was going to try to get Thom off, there's no place to do it anymore. He's done.
No.
He's done. And now I think I can call him Thom.
Yeah, now you can.
And now we can revise his name.
Yeah.
Thom Brenneman.
So whenever he comes back, he is always going to be Thom.
You think if he just changed his name to Thom, people wouldn't remember him?
What if he knew he was
that guy? His name was Thom.
That was Thom.
If you knew you had nothing to lose, like Brenneman's, he's got an established, I'm just going to call him Brenneman because I can't say Thom.
Call him Thom. It's fun.
So just weird. But he's got an established name. He's got a reputation. He's made a lot of great calls and had a really good career. But he decided he was going to say something out loud, and it got on the air, and now he's done. And he'll be done. He will not get back on sports. He'll shut it down. If he didn't have that reputation, let's say it was somebody else with a much lesser reputation.
Maybe like a local Houston like a local Texans guy. Writer.
And if he knew he was done and who?
Like a local Houston Texans writer who happened to do something.
Oh, well, that's different. He didn't say something.
Well, yes. He didn't Very say different something. Examples.
But let's say, but you could actually but use this on that one too.
Yeah.
If you knew that you were dead man walking and you were never going to be on a broadcast again, and maybe you had some FU money that you could like, I got mine. My wife's already banking or whatever it was. I got a trust fund. What if he had come out and just said, instead of me doing this apology and I'm still going to get shot in the head execution style in a second, if he had just come out and said, I apologize deeply that you heard me say that. I didn't think I would get caught saying that out loud on the air.
But now that I have, let me actually rank the cities in order.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about going that far. I'm just saying if he had made an apology and his apology was, it's unfortunate that you heard me say it. And I definitely didn't think that was going to go out on the over the air.
I'm sorry that you feel
that way. And I'll let Richie handle it from here. Like, hey! That wasn't a real apology.
No.
He said, I'm sorry I got caught saying it.
Well, look, you guys want me to get on my knees and prostrate myself and hit myself with the cat of nine tails? We all know where this is going. I'm not keeping my job.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. So I'm not gonna bow down in front of you.
I'm not here for you to get your final licks in while I cower. I'm just going to stand by what I said. Like, no, Thom, no. You still got to go to grocery stores? You still got to go to restaurants?
You think Let's Thom Brenneman
Nobody's got... picking out Thom Brenneman in a grocery store.
You think Thom Brenneman got to this point in his career by listening to the masses? If I did, I would never be at this point. That's why I'm Thom Brenneman.
Who's putting an H after a T?
The
Nobody.
H is silent no more.
That's right.
No, that's not what I'm named. This is my TV name, Thom.
People thought Thom was appropriate. It wasn't off-putting. But you know what? I'm done. My name is Thom. Get used to it.
Get used to it. Too bad.
The career of Thom Brenneman. Probably no more.
So the last thing we're going to talk about when we come back is a movie that's coming out that I want to see if you have any interest in seeing. 10:45. Put some sitting sideways. Boys in the day.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, so be honest about this. We'll get into this guy in a second. There's a movie coming out that Chris Paul and Jake Stein, I don't know who Jake Stein is, but Chris Paul is one of the producers, along with Jake Stein. It's a Kevin Hart movie. It's a sneaker dramedy. It's called a dramedy, and it's a sneaker dramedy called American Soul, S-O-L-E, starring Pete Davidson and O'Shea Jackson Jr., also known as Ice Cube's son. Now, is there any chance that you would want to see a dramedy about sneaker culture?
I don't know if the movie could be.
If it was a comedy, it would suck. A dramedy is intriguing to me because I wonder what storyline is.
Yeah, I don't know if it could be strictly about sneaker culture. That could be one of that could be the through line in the movie. Like that's just part of the movie, but I would need more, I think.
So it's American Soul, produced by Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart and Chris Paul, set in the competitive world of aftermarket sneakers,
which is a real thing. Like aftermarket sneakers, really interesting.
We'll see Davidson and Jackson Jr. play 20-somethings who look to pay off college debt before their plans are thwarted.
Yeah, see if they're.
Did you like Uncut Gems?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I liked Uncut Gems.
I thought I'm in the minority of I liked it.
I did too.
That's a minority opinion?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people not like it. I thought Adam Sandler was fantastic.
Just the franticness.
It made me nervous. John didn't like it, but it made me nervous the whole time. Like, I was very nervous. The way it ended was unexpected for me.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, if that just would have happened in the beginning, there's no movie, you know?
Right. But I don't understand the Pete Davidson thing. I'm never going to get it.
You mean him as a talent or the women who are interested in him?
No, him as a talent. Just him as a... I have seen Pete... What has Pete done? He's been off the show. And granted, I think he has some issues that he deals with from a psychological standpoint and takes medicine. I get all that stuff. And I'm sure Lauren Michaels saw him when he was 17, 18 doing comedy, and they loved him, and they brought him on the cast, and he was the youngest cast member since Eddie Murphy. I've never understood the Pete Davidson thing. I don't think he's a writer. He's in almost no skits. He comes on and does like one thing where he comes onto the set of Weekend Update or whatever. I've never really understood the Pete Davidson fascination because it's never been extended. Now, his best stuff is his digital shorts when he does rap videos and stuff like that. He's probably pretty funny conceptually, but I'm interested to see how the whole movie goes. I did not see the
been
other
in
movie.
A couple movies.
Well, this other one that just got released, King of
Staten Island.
Yeah,
he had a Big Time Adolescence on Hulu, which, if you're going by Rotten Tomatoes, did well, 85%. And then you had King of Staten Island, which was over 70. So his last couple movies. Now we don't know of him as a box office draw because we're in a time where there are no box offices. But as far as movies that he starred in and being the driving force, as far as the actor, they've gotten good reviews.
Really?
So far. Yeah. And he's going to be in Suicide Squad, which it won't be all about him at all. It'll be an ensemble cast.
King of Staten Island, you said, did you have a Rotten Tomatoes on that?
73%.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so a couple movies he's been in that he's the star of has done well as far as the critics are concerned. And we don't know about money because
I don't know if
there's no
see
box
this
offices.
Have you seen that movie with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron? I think it's called Long Shot.
Yes, that's what it is.
O'Shea's in that movie, and he was actually very funny in that movie.
What's it about?
It's about Seth Rogen's a writer. He writes for like an independent political website, and Charlize Theron is trying to make a run at the presidency.
Is it worth seeing?
I haven't seen it.
I thought it was funny. I think it's pretty funny.
Where'd you see? When did it come out?
It's on HBO.
It's on Hulu currently.
It may have been taken off of HBO recently, but I'd say it's worth a watch.
Yeah, they grow up together. And then obviously
they reconnect.
She's
as
Charlize Theron looking woman, and he's Seth Rogen, and comedy ensues because they're a complete opposites.
She hires him to be a speechwriter. Spoiler alert!
And all her friends don't understand it because it's Seth Rogen and you're you and that type of deal. I haven't seen it, but I saw the trailer and you could tell what the deal is.
But based on him being in the movie, I can see how it would be funny, but I don't know if he's good at doing any kind of drama stuff.
So it says when their startup, so the pick follows 2 20-somethings with mountains of college debt who use fast cash of aftermarket sneaker reselling to achieve their American dream. when their startup runs out of cash and a shady investor is their only way out, the dream quickly becomes a nightmare. So maybe it will be interesting. I've gotten caught up in the aftermarket sneaker game. I bought Yeezys from Adidas. Adidas said, "Hey, you're a creator club because I've ordered a certain amount of stuff. Would you like to sign up for these Yeezys?" And I don't wear Yeezys. I'm like, yes, because I totally want to sell them. Then Raheel made fun of me because he showed me on StockX that the prices were going down. And I'm just like, well, great. And then I look back on StockX a year later, and they were like selling for $430, $440. So I'm like, look who the smart guy is now, Raheel. And I was talking to Bun about it, the guy who runs StockX. StockX, basically, I bought early release shoes from Adidas because I thought I was going to pull the same thing. And it turns out no one cared about these early release shoes. So I returned them to Adidas and then bought them off StockX for about $70 less. Because I thought...
I don't think your story would get picked up to be made
listen,
a movie.
Listen, this is what I want to pitch you. It's a story of a dad
okay.
who finds a way to order shoes from Adidas and then send them back and get them cheaper off of an aftermarket sneaker site.
And the
what
big,
do you think?
And the big one is he gets the one up on
yeah.
his former co-host.
Yeah, with the black on black Yeezys.
Yeah,
it's not the. I wish it was reflective.
It's not a great.
Maybe ends him just.
So what do you think?
Down in bed. Eating with his food.
With
towel.
Him, what else? But what else all happens
else?
To the character?
Well, I have a food towel.
The character likes to eat on his bed.
He's got a food towel.
With a towel to keep shut.
He's got six kids.
He dislocates his shoulder falling off of
a ladder.
He's
a ladder.
Prone.
He's got
play on that. So we got kind of
gutter.
A slapstick guy.
He's got a noticeable limp.
But he's cool. But he's a cool guy. He just falls off a ladder.
No, we're not going to make him cool. We're just going to make him the giant nerd.
Tell us more. No, tell us more about the food thing and what else does he do? Well, let's not focus on that.
He gets
over on the aftermarket, but tell us about the falling down and getting hurt stuff.
Have you heard about old granddad?
Yeah. He takes shots. What about that? He takes shots of bourbon. Yeah, everybody does.
He hides from his kids.
Hides from his kids on the iPad. Yeah, that's kind of a... We've seen that before on This Is 40.
He's a draft expert?
Draft expert? No. He falls down at the mobile
yeah,
and hurts
yeah, more
his
of
foot.
That. More
oh, yeah,
that.
Okay. What happens there?
And he lies about, you know, stopping a crime?
No, but he did it trying to stop a crime. Ooh, I like that.
You lied. The better story is everyone finding out you lied about stopping a crime.
No, no one found out I lied because we're not sure if I lied.
Everyone knows you lied.
That's going to do it for the show. But listen, kids, when Monday comes around and John is back, he's Thom Brenneman. Okay? Don't say Tom. It's Thom Brenneman.
Tweet John about Thom Brenneman so we can say it over and over again.
Yeah, make sure you do that. Rockets, Astros. Astros headed into San Diego.
It might not be as fun a show on Monday.
We'll find out. Thanks for sticking with us this weekend. Have a great day.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.